Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Facebook Live Bible Study tonight. We are so excited to be with you. As I've mentioned earlier, every Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll be doing different studies, different life lessons. We will not be doing a series like we normally do, just different lessons each Wednesday. And tonight we find ourselves in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. And we'll be looking at the life of Abraham. Incredible, incredible life lessons. You don't want to miss this. I want to welcome everybody. We thank you for joining with us, all of you on Facebook and YouTube. And we're just so grateful that you're with us on Instagram as well. And so here we are in Genesis chapter 17. We begin at verse number 1. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to join me as we begin. Verse number 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect or mature, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Notice the word covenant. And shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and the kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant, notice the word covenant, between me and thee and thy seed, after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed. After thee, every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Notice the word circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of thy covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, for that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. Notice that word again. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off, notice the word cut off, from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abram, for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face, and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Verse 22. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abram. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. What an amazing story we have here. And we can't help but notice two words that we see within this particular chapter that is repeated over and over again, the word covenant and the word circumcision. I want to talk about that tonight. But before we do, we want to get into a bit of a backdrop, an introduction of what is actually going on in this very, very important chapter. God has come to Abraham earlier, and God has called Abraham, just simply called him, out of his homeland of the Ur of the Chaldees, which is a place which is really present-day Iraq, Babylon. He called him out to leave that land and to go into the promised land. But Abraham wants to settle. And in chapter 11 of Genesis, he slows down. He ends up staying with his father for a period of time. For about 15 years, he settled in that particular area. He compromised. He loves God, but he settled. He wasn't sure. There were some complications. And I want to stop here for a moment because I see some life lessons that I need to share with you. I can hear some of you saying, perhaps, brothers and sisters, "Oh Lord, yes, I want to follow your will. I want to do what you're asking me to do, but Lord, it's just too difficult. I'm not sure I'm able to. I don't speak well. There's too many obstacles. I'm not sure I have the ability. Maybe I misunderstood what you really wanted. Maybe it's not clear. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe there's somebody else." Yes, the Moses syndrome appearing once again. I'm not able to talk. I'm not able to sing. I'm not able. I'm comfortable where I'm at, Lord. Maybe you need to ask somebody else. Do you know anybody like that? The point is, friends, people who settle always have a maybe. There's always a maybe beside what you can do, or perhaps what God is calling you to do. There's a maybe. But maybe, Lord, there's somebody else. Maybe if I was smarter. And we're filled with excuses to justify our fears. Filled with excuses to justify our fears. And so what we do, this is what we do to tranquilize or anesthetize fears that we have, because we have the fear of the unknown. You see, Abraham was called from the familiar to go into the unfamiliar. And you know what? We don't like that very much, because we are creatures of habit. We like to be planted. We like to be settled. We don't like change. That's why COVID has been such a, you know, the normal has become completely turned around to this new normal. Everything has changed. We don't like it. I don't like it. We don't like change. We don't want to change at all. We want to settle. We like being comfortable where we're at. But my friends, I'm going to tell you something straight up. When God calls you, he calls you from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Every man of God had to learn this principle. And God was going to teach it to Abraham and any other person. Moses, the children of Israel, the apostle Paul, and the list goes on. And maybe he's doing that in your life. He's shaking you up a little bit. He's stirring you up. Preparing you for a change, preparing you to enter into another level. And so I want you to notice a couple of C's that I see in this text. We'll be talking about covenant, we'll be talking about circumcision, we'll be talking about complications. The first point I want to talk about is a covenant. God made a covenant. And before there is circumcision, there must first be a covenant, my first point. Before there's a circumcision, and we'll talk about what that is in a few moments, there must first be a covenant. God took an initiative and spoke to Abraham and called him to do something, and he made a covenant with him. A covenant. Circumcision is something that we need to do. Circumcision is something that comes after the covenant. God makes a covenant with us, and then there are certain things that we need to do. What is a circumcision? Is a cutting away of things that are not productive in your life. It's a cutting away of something that's holding you back. But before that cutting away takes place, there needs to be a relationship. There needs to be a covenant. God needs us to understand, friends. We need to understand that God calls us as we are, but he doesn't expect us to stay the way we are. But there's a covenant. And you know, friends, God's made that covenant with us. He chose us before the foundations of the earth. He chose you before you even knew him. He died for us while we were yet sinners. You know, God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham was a pagan. God simply chose him. Did you know that? Some of us think that Abraham's been serving God, and Abraham was a pagan. And when he went to stay with his father in Haran, his father was an idol worshiper. But God called him out of that. You see, friend, there needs to be a circumcision when God is calling you higher. There needs to be a circumcision, a cutting away of what is not essential in your life. And so when God calls you, there needs to be a circumcision, because you can't get higher in that calling. You can't be where God wants you to be if we're still going to be the same. You see, Abraham had to leave Babylon. And when Jesus calls you to go higher, there's something that you and I need to do. There's a problem. And the problem is that sometimes in our lives, as we are called out, we confront or we come across something that might hold us back, something that doesn't help us get to the next level. You see, all of us in this journey, in our relationship with God, as God is calling us to go deeper, we might come across something that will try to hold us back, something that will keep us back. And so we want to talk about that. And the first thing we need to understand, though, is that a covenant is the absolute key. If we don't have a covenant with God, then a circumcision means nothing. And you know what religion is? Religion is circumcision without a covenant. Religion is something you do, it's works, but there's no relationship. I don't want circumcision without covenant. I want to be able to have a circumcision, which is a picture of works, something that we need to do. I want to have a relationship in order for my works, in order for my circumcision to have any meaning or value. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. That's the problem with religion. Religion enforces circumcision and doesn't speak much about the covenant. Gotta have a covenant. I gotta have a relationship with God. That's the key to everything. And in that relationship, God is gonna call you out of certain things. And now we come to the circumcision. God told Abraham, I want you to do something. I want you to experience something. Notice this. You need to change your name, Abraham. From Abram to Abraham. There's going to be a change. In a circumcision, something changes. Something is cut off from your life. Something happens in this circumcision. Your name changes. And I like this because I like words. And so God is saying, I want you to change your name in order to be able to play the game. You can't play the game, which is a picture of life, without changing your name. What does changing your name mean from Abram to Abraham? It means things won't be the same. You'll be a father of many nations. A lot of things are going to change in your life, Abram. God is saying, look, this change is going to do something that will change your life forever. It's a changing of your name because the game has changed. You can't have a new game with an old name. You can't have a new name and a new walk with an old attitude. You can't walk through a new door with an old mindset. Something has to change. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Your name has to change. The game has to change. Your perspective has to change. You can't put on the new man and the old man at the same time. And that's the problem with some of us. We have got one foot in Christ and one foot in the world. And you wonder why you're so frustrated. You can't walk through a new door with one foot in the world. In one foot in Christ. Listen, when God comes in your life, my friends, you will never be the same again. And that's what Paul was trying to teach to the Corinthians, because they had a problem with this. They came out of their idol worship and they were still struggling with their old sins. And Paul says, listen, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. How can someone be a new creation? Something has been birthed in your life that's given you life. You've changed the old nature to new nature. There's been a change. You can't walk with God holding hands with the devil. There's got to be a cutting away. There needs to be a circumcision. And if you want God to direct your steps, you've got to surrender your feet. Your feet, if you will, need to be circumcised, if you understand what I'm saying. See, you can't be what you're going to be and what you used to be at the same time. Can't! Can't do that. He called you to stand out, my friends. He hasn't called us to blend in. Again, that's the problem. Some of us, we don't like standing out. It's too risky. We don't like to draw that kind of attention to ourselves. We'd rather be quiet about it. Secret agents for Christ. We'd rather blend in and be reserved and have somebody else preach and have somebody else speak and have somebody else do it. We don't want to stand out. We want to just simply blend in. But he's called us, as he did Abraham, to get out of Babylon. You can't serve Christ while you're in Babylon. That's what the Israelites tried to do. They still wanted to go back to Egypt. And God was trying to tell them, you need a circumcision from Egypt. You've got to get away from that mindset. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. He calls you as you are, but he doesn't call you to stay the way you are. He called Abraham while he was in Babylon, but he called him to come out of Babylon. A name change might mean a friend change. A name change might mean a drink change. A music change, if you know what I mean. An environment change. You can't be who you were and who you are at the same time. Can't do it. You need a circumcision, a cutting away. And that's where a lot of Christians miss it. A lot of people miss it here. They think, well, as long as I follow God, I'm okay and I love God. But God's concerned about how you live and how you walk with him. There's a new teaching today that's sweeping Christianity. I'm going to call it out. I'm not ashamed. It's called progressive Christianity. I'm not ashamed to say it. It's destroying people. It's a lie and a deception. It's telling people, listen, God loves you. His love is so vast that it doesn't really matter what you do, where you go, how you live, because God's love is greater than that. His love is so powerful. He's made provision for you. You're all going to heaven. He loves you so much. Every single one of you are going to heaven. He came to die on the cross. And he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And they use that text and they say, "You see, God forgave everyone because they know not what they do. Everybody's forgiven. Everybody's going to heaven." Yes, everybody. The murderer, the killer, the rapist, they're all, because God loves them. Yeah, God loves them. But you see how they twist the scriptures? They twist it. Why would God give us his word and teach us how to walk and show us what to do and how to live? Why would he do that if he didn't want us to follow that principle? Why would God ask us to live a life that's pleasing, holy, and righteous before him? Why would he ask us to do that when this teaching says it doesn't matter? My friends, be careful. There is a lot of deception going on. God is concerned about how you live. God is concerned about what comes out of your mouth. God is concerned about how you entertain yourself and what you do. You see, if God has come into your life, there's going to be a change. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be a change. The way you used to live will no longer control your life. That doesn't mean there won't be any problems or any hindrances and any times of discouragement. Absolutely not. But if you're serious about this game, if you're serious about God, it's time to change your name. And if your name is changed, then the way you live will change. You were Sariah, but now you'll be called Sarah. You were called Jacob, but now you'll be called Israel. You were called Saul, but now you'll be called Paul. You were called Abram, but now you'll be called Abraham. Your name lines up with your destiny. That change of name lines up with who you are now. The change of name speaks of a circumcision, a transformation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. My position in Christ must line up with my practice in Christ. My position in Christ needs to at least align with my practice. That's why Paul says to walk worthy of your calling. To walk worthy of your calling. If I'm a joint heir, if I'm a more than conqueror, if I'm an ambassador, my position must live up with my practice. I should be able to look at you and see where you're going. I should be able to look at you and say, there's something different about your life. I should look at you and say, yeah, I see salt here. I see light here. I see something about you. I smell some perfume in your life. You see, there's no salt or perfume or light if the old lifestyle remains. Your covenant with God demands a circumcision. Just by virtue of your relationship with him. If there's no relationship with him, there's no circumcision. No true one. That circumcision is not real. I don't need to be a prophet to see where you're going. I don't need to be a prophet to see how you're living. I should be able to see it clearly. You ought to act like it, live like it, talk like it. Something visible should be seen. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 2, I believe it's the 10th verse, he says to adorn the doctrine of Christ in all things. To adorn the doctrine of Christ in all things. The word adorn means the word, Greek word kosmeo, which is the English word cosmetics. It means, and why do we put cosmetics on? To make us more attractive. You see, what Paul is saying, make Christ attractive to the world. Put on your spiritual cosmetics. Make Jesus look, let him shine through your life. And that won't happen without a circumcision. And so if progressive Christianity is real, and they tell you it's all right, God loves you, do what you want, how in the world is that person going to be a testimony if everybody's doing the same thing? There needs to be a change. Something has to line up. Your name must line up with the game of life. There has to be a change. You know, I was thinking about this. And you know, when you think about actors on television or movies, actors, what is an actor takes something that is not real and portrays it as if it's real. And so an actor will take a script, learn his lines, and he will become that individual. He'll become that person. And so he takes something that's not real and makes it real. Something that's imaginary and makes it real. The tragedy, my brothers and sisters, is some of us as Christians, as believers, we take something that is real, the reality of Christ, and we make it and portray it as if it is not real. How? By our lives. If there's no circumcision in your life, Christianity is not real. I know it was a sign of the covenant that God made. The blood needed to be shed, a picture of the cross. But circumcision speaks of a cutting away of things that is not essential, things that are not productive. The foreskin that's not productive, essential. And there are going to be times in your life, my friends, that you're going to have to cut off things in your life that's not essential, that's not productive. Otherwise, it's going to slow you down and bring you down. Notice verse 23 of chapter 17. God says, everything in your house, Abraham, needs to be circumcised. Did you see that? So now we're getting a little deeper that, yes, it speaks of a relationship. It speaks of the covenant. But now, this is not just about Abraham and God. God says, Abraham, and anybody you hang around with needs to be circumcised. Excuse me? Oh, yeah. Everything that's born, everything you've adopted, everything you're connected with, everything in your house, it matters, needs to be circumcised, Abram. Notice, and Abram took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were brought. Did you see that? Bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin the same day as God had said to him. Wow. Oh man, I see so many life lessons here. I really do. But what this means, everything that is connected needs to be circumcised. Things you buy, bring into your house, everything. God's saying, if you have a son, circumcise him. If you have a servant, circumcise him. Anybody that stays under your roof, Abraham, everything that's connected to you, I'm prolonging this for a reason, must be circumcised. Anybody who's in agreement with you needs to be circumcised. Let's go deeper. For if two who walk together don't agree together, we have a problem, Amos teaches us. That's essentially what God is saying here. You see, you got to be ready for this. If they're living under your roof and they're not willing, Abraham, you can't be connected. But if they are, snip. Snip, Abraham. Circumcision. Circumcision needs to be done. Look, I'm going to have to cut you off because if you're not going to be connected with me, I can't be a part of your life anymore. How many relationships have continued because somebody wasn't willing to have a circumcision with that individual? I'm not talking about a physical circumcision. I'm talking about a spiritual circumcision. For you see, friends, although the Bible is speaking of a physical circumcision here, the Bible also speaks of a spiritual circumcision, a cutting away. How many relationships are not equally yoked, and yet we still continue in these relationships, and we're holding on and holding on, hoping, and many of them end up in some serious problems, and how many have been led astray? Oh, it's very subtle, isn't it? But the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. The Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? You see, if you're not connected, then you'll be spending all of this energy fighting instead of fighting to where you're going. You will be drained. Connections matter. You'll be drained if you're not yoked properly. You'll be drained if you're not walking together. God is talking about circumcision physically to Abraham, but I want to bring this a little deeper, a little further. I want to talk about a spiritual circumcision in the year 2020. But people we live with, people we hang around with, people we deal with, people we work with. I'm talking about everyday life. The game in which we live in. The game of life. Connections matter. Connections matter. Connections matter. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, it says, don't be mocked. Bad company corrupts morals. Bad company corrupts morals. Bad company corrupts morals. God is concerned about who you hang around with. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you who you are, Mr. Facebook man. And I'm going to tell you who are Miss YouTube, if you're on there. I'm going to tell you who you are by the people you hang around with. That's right. I know exactly who you are by the people you hang around. And I've had mothers, oh, Pastor, my son, he's such a good son. He just hangs around the wrong people and he got in trouble. Oh, I've got sympathy for you, man. But I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. Why? Because if you're with the wrong company and you're with the wrong company and you're hanging around with the wrong company over and over again, it's not he's just hanging around the wrong people. No, no. It's because he likes to hang around what you call the wrong kind of people. Let's just be honest. You are who you hang around with. That's how I know who you are. Because the Bible says, what fellowship is there between light and darkness, Christ and Belial? You see, if you're in the light, you can't hang around. You don't want to be in the darkness. It's repulsive. Can't stand it. You won't want to be a part of it. There'll be a circumcision. You see, connections matter. And so the Bible speaks of a covenant before circumcision. You need to have that relationship. God wants a relationship. But it says, in this relationship, God says, Abraham, I want you to have a circumcision. Not just you, Abraham, but all those that have been connected with. And then my third C, I want you to notice God speaks about circumstances. You see, with God, circumstances is not an issue with him. What am I saying? You've been spending hours and hours praying. Yeah, I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. You're praying to God about circumstances. You're praying to God about your calamities. You're praying to God about what's going on in your life. Maybe during COVID has been so difficult. You're praying, Lord, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see my problems, Lord? And you're crying out to God. The circumstances are overwhelming. I feel like I'm drowning. But you see, in God's economy, circumstances doesn't matter. You think the Red Sea bothers God? You think giants hinder God? Do you not think that God is in control of circumstances? When God opens up a door, circumstances don't matter. When God's going to do something in your life or my life, circumstances don't matter. I don't care how tall the walls of Jericho are. I don't care how thick those walls of Jericho are. Those walls are coming down. God isn't hampered or he's not dissuaded because of the size or the greatness or how vast that issue or that problem is or how deep that is. God is not encumbered by circumstances. You are. I am. And I can tell you why we can shout, my brothers and sisters, tonight. Because circumstances don't matter when it comes to the things of God. That tells me no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark and how discouraging it is, there is always hope. Always. Because God is bigger than any Goliath that you will ever see. And he is stronger than any Samson that you will encounter. And he is wiser than any Solomon you might meet. And he's more eloquent than any Paul who preaches. There's no one like God. There's nothing he cannot do. Listen, I can tell you why I shout, because I serve a great way maker. I serve a God who's able to do all things. And you know, friend, I gotta ask you, aren't you a little tired of hanging around dead people who have settled for less? I gotta say that again. Aren't you a little tired of hanging around people who've settled for less, who've lost their vision, who have little vision for God? Yes, people who've settled for less in what God has called them to be. I know some people who God has called them. I really do. My good friend, years, I believe God had a call on his life, but he settled for less. He settled for less. He settled for less. That's a terrible thing, to settle for less. When God's called you higher. Listen, you need something in front of you. I know that some of you need something to get you out of bed. Some of us need a goal. Some of us need a vision. We've been settling for less. Yes, something that will challenge you, something that makes you seek God, to help you pray, something that will bring you to your knees to cry out to God. Otherwise, you'll stop and you'll settle for less. That's why God's put that trial in your life. He wants you to rise up. That's why God's allowed you to go through that. He wants to get your attention. And can it be that that's why God's allowed you to go through COVID? So you can rise up. But you've settled. Listen, friends, you'll never discover what is inside of you until something challenges your life. I got to say that again. You won't discover what is truly inside of you until something challenges you. And God will challenge you. Yes, he will. Will you settle? Or will you get out of Babylon? Will you settle? Or will you change your name? I got a word, my friends. Please don't settle for less than your best. And you know, mediocrity is the enemy of the best. It really is. I hate mediocrity. I can't stand in between. Look, that's why Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but don't be lukewarm. There's nothing worse than lukewarmness. There's no state worse than being lukewarm. That's what happens when you settle. You're lukewarm. You're neither here or there. You're settling less for what God has called us to be. To settle for an imposter. What do I mean by that? To settle for an imposter. We are settling for something that we think is important. Stay with me. Don't settle for an Ishmael. Ah, that's where I'm going. Don't settle for an Ishmael when God's called you to have an Isaac. I want that just to sink in for a moment. If God said he's going to bless you, friends, if God says he's going to raise you up, if God says he's going to heal you, if God says he's going to bring you out, if God says he's going to do the impossible and you know it, why are you settling? Why are you compromising for Ishmael? Why are you doing that? See, Ishmael represents the spirit of making do. Ishmael represents the spirit of the flesh, the energy of the flesh. God says, Abraham, don't settle. I've got plans for you. You remember the story. God spoke, we know it. You're going to have a child. I've heard your cries. And it didn't turn out the way Abraham expected, like many of us. It took a little bit longer than we thought it should take, and so we settled. Started to figure out things. Wait a minute, maybe God wants me to go down south, and we start getting into all kinds of thoughts, into the energy of the flesh instead of waiting and trusting and believing. He goes south to Egypt. Oh, you don't want to go south to Egypt. Whenever you're about to settle, whenever there's a compromise, you'll always end up south to Egypt. And there he meets Hagar, and we know the story. He has a child. Ishmael is born. Oh, but Abraham says, wait a minute. Lord, I love Ishmael. I hear what you're saying to me. I hear what you're saying to me. But God, he's my first son, really. I can't get rid of him. Sometimes when God wants you to do something, it's going to be very painful. Sometimes when God's asking you to do something, it really hits home. It might be something that is very deep in your life. That's why he's asking you to deal with it. Because it's important to you. And you know, friends, the Bible tells us that Abraham loved Ishmael. Ishmael was dear to Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham and says, he's not the one. You settled. You did something wrong. You didn't trust me. And now you have a complication. Covenant, circumcision. And now we come to this complication. Complication. Ishmael is a complication. You know, every victory has some kind of complication. If you're waiting for complications to leave, you can't experience what it means to be a conqueror. That's why Peter says that don't think it's strange when the fiery trials come against you. Every conqueror has complications. Yes, conflict will always come before there's conquest. And there was a complication in Abraham's life. He made a huge mistake. Yes, this is God's man. God's man made a huge mistake. This is God's friend. You know, a lot of men have made mistakes with God. Great men. The Moses, the Abrahams, the Paul, the Peters, all of us. But how do we respond when God is bringing up our complications to us and we need to deal with them? How do we deal with it? God is saying, I know about Ishmael. Ishmael represents how you try to fix it and it went wrong. Ishmael represents you, your effort, Abraham, man's will. But we can't do God's will man's way. I repeat, we can't do God's will man's way. That's what Abraham tried to do. That's what David tried to do when he brought the ark back with a cart instead upon the shoulders of the priest. Now, how many times do we do that? We try to do God's will man's way. We'll end up in failure. See, when you try to fix something in your own strength, with your own wisdom, it always goes wrong. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs not to lean upon your own understanding. But hold on, my friends. God isn't finished with Abraham, and he isn't finished with you or with me. God says, I'm going to correct your complication, Abraham. I'm going to correct it because I got a plan for you. That's right, I called you, Abraham. Yeah, you made some mistakes, but I've called you. Yeah, you made a U-turn, but I called you. Yeah, you committed that sin, but I called you. And Moses and Abraham and Jonah and Peter, I've got a word for you. I'm gonna turn it around. I'm going to make something happen out of nothing. Ishmael may not be the one, but Abraham loves him. So we have a problem. He's attached to his complication. How many people are attached to their complications? How many people are attached to their addictions, but they can't seem to let it go? God's calling you to go higher, and he's asking you to circumcise that addiction. He's asking you to circumcise that Ishmael. But you can't seem to let it go because Abraham loved Ishmael. You know, some people, they come to the altar, they pray, they repent. And on Monday, they go back to their sin. They somehow love their sin, although they seek it with repentance like Esau. But they didn't really repent because they love their sin. Abraham loved Ishmael. How many relationships are toxic? You know they're wrong, but you can't leave him because you're addicted. That's right. Can I be honest with you? And somehow the devil is telling you, I can't find anyone else anyway. That's a lie. People are addicted to their complications, addicted to their habits. Can't seem to let it go. For some men, it's lust and pornography. For some, it's greed. For some, it's the need of being in a relationship because you're not happy. You need somebody with you all the time. You can't seem to function. And even if he beats me or hurts me, I'm still going to stick it through because I don't know where else to go. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I've seen it. So Abraham eventually says, okay, Lord, I know this is not the promised son. I know, Lord, I made some mistakes. I caused a disaster. I shouldn't have gone to Egypt. I see it. I shouldn't. I love Ishmael, but I see what you're asking me to do. God has a plan. God has a plan for you, my friend. And Abraham sees it. God intervened in the life of Abraham. God intervened in that complication, in that mistake that seems so devastating. And Abraham is asking, how does my mistake fit in with my promise? How does my mistake, how is God going to work this out? This mistake is too complicated. This mistake is too grievous. How can God turn this around? How many people have said, how can God turn this around? It's too complicated. It's too devastating. I don't know how in the world, how is this possible that God is able to turn it around? But my friend, God can turn anything around. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. The Ishmaels that come in your life, the Bathshebas that have come into the life of David, the Delilahs that tried to torment and tempt Samson. Yes. God is going to work it out. Doesn't seem like it. But he's going to work it out. And what do I want you to see this. See, God isn't. Now watch this now. Abraham was brought to a point where he saw this. And that's very important. I don't have time to expand on that. But Abraham was brought to a place where he saw that. And he realized his mistake. And you know, friends, there's a life lesson here. You see, God isn't looking. Watch this now. This is very important because I'm coming to a close. And I don't want you to miss this. God isn't looking so much for that so much. He's not looking for that so much that you can give him. That so much. He's looking, stay with me, because I'm going somewhere, with that so little. Yeah. With that so little. What do I mean with that so little? You see, when God gets the little, I'm speaking about the humility. I'm speaking about the brokenness. That's when he makes it so much. He can take Shamgar with one whip to destroy 600 Philistines. Just that one whip can destroy 600 Philistines. God can take two fish and five loaves and feed thousands and thousands of people. You know, friends, if it hasn't been for the Lord, you see, he brings us to a place where we see his power and we're able to look back and say, my God, if it hasn't been for the Lord, where would I be? But you see, it's the principle. And this is the principle I want to show you. And it's found in Deuteronomy 32:34. Deuteronomy 32:34. And I want to read you something. And this becomes the key to this story and to the turnaround of Abraham. Look what the Bible says. It says, "For the Lord shall judge his people and repent or turn around himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left." What does that mean? Oh, friends, you don't want to miss this. God is saying, I'm going to turn things around. God can't repent of his, there's no sin, so don't be confused with the word repent. That means turn around. He will turn it around for his servants. He will turn that situation around. When what? When he sees that their power, your strength, when you are broken, when you come with humility, when you come with brokenness, and that there's none shut up or left, when you come with emptiness and you say, God, I'm sorry. God, I realized my mistake. You see, that's what I'm talking about. When Abraham came to that place, when he realized he was wrong, he took what was so little and made it so great. You see, despite all of those setbacks, all of those handicaps, despite the Ishmaels, God had a purpose for Abraham's mistake. God had a purpose for Ishmael. And God has a purpose for you. Yes, even that mistake you made, even that painful experience you went through has purpose. Yes, Judas had purpose in the life of Jesus. For it was Judas that betrayed him. And because of that betrayal, it is what brought Jesus to the cross. Through Judas's betrayal. Yes, God can even use the betrayals in our lives for his purposes. He is a God of the second chance. He is the God of the third chance. He is a great and mighty God. And like Jonah, he turned around. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I believe some of you need to turn around. Some of us need to turn around. Despite the complications, God's going to make a way in your life, my friend. Don't look at your complications and look and see how deep and how great and how powerful and how difficult. God is not hindered by the depth of that problem or the degree of that problem. Now, I got to close. But I want to talk to somebody out there. I want to talk to some complicated people tonight on Facebook. I want to talk to some complicated people on YouTube. People who've given birth to Ishmael. Yeah. People who have stayed too long in Babylon. You're called to be a conqueror, to be a joint heir, But there is an Ishmael, a complication in your life, and you've got off track. You got off track. And the devil's come to you and is telling you, you can't get back. It's too complicated. That's not true. Because God's got an Isaac for you, my friend. He isn't finished with you. The devil might tell you that he's finished with you, but he's not. And as long as you've got a pulse, God's got a plan. And as long as you're breathing, and as long as God keeps waking you up in the morning, there's purpose in your life. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't settle. It's time to be circumcised. It's time to turn around. It's time to say, Lord, take my life. Take my mistakes. Take my complications. And turn me around. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm telling you, friends, it's not too late. God's got a plan for you. You put those things aside. And you come to the Lord and say, God, help me. I've got Ishmael here, and I love Ishmael, but help me to let it go. Help me to let it go, Lord, because I know you got something better. Amen. Can I pray with you? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, that you haven't abandoned us. I thank you, Lord, that no matter how strong Ishmael might be, you have an Isaac for us somewhere that's stronger, better. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, to circumcise anything that would hinder our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us to be obedient, to trust you. Because I know, Lord, you're not finished with me. Help me to keep walking down that straight path, Lord, into the promised land of your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you, brothers and sisters. We trust that the Lord has encouraged you today through his word. Don't give up. God isn't finished with you yet. We look forward to seeing you again this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Share it with a friend. And we hope to see you tomorrow morning on Facebook Live, Instagram as well. Every day at 8 a.m. and 8:15 on Instagram. We'd love to see you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And don't forget, God isn't finished with you yet. Bye for now.